Today's daf is daf Yud, Sechus Bava Kama daf Yud. However, we left off on daf Tes Hamid Beis yesterday, and we really, really rushed through the Gemara right after the Mishnah, so I think it's Kedai. I didn't explain it well at all, so it's Kedai to go back to the Gemara right after the Mishnah, and Mitzvah Hashem, we will we'll make up some ground today. So, says the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah had said that anytime you're Chayiv to watch something, so you're considered to have prepared its damage if it goes and damages, and therefore you're going to have to pay for the damages. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Kol Shechapti Bishmirasa Hichsharti Es Nisko Ketzad. What does this mean exactly? That anytime I'm chayv to watch something, Hichsharti Es Nisko, that if it does damage, I'm considered to have prepared the damage because I didn't watch it properly, and therefore I'm going to be responsible for it. What exactly does that mean? Sharu Bar Shemasun Nechir Shot of a Katan Beiziko, Chayiv Lashalim Masha'in Kin Beish. What it means is that if a Sharu Bar, if you have a Shar or a Bar that you gave to a Chayiv Shot of a Katan, and it damaged, so you're Chayiv to pay for it when it does the damage, because you should know that a Chayiv Shot and Katan can't properly watch a Shar and a Bar. You didn't give it over for proper adult supervision, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv for being so careless by giving it to a Chayiv Shot of a Katan. However, Masha'in came by Eish, that's not true. When you give an Eish to a Cherishot of a Katan and it damages, apparently you're going to be Pater. You're not going to be Chayiv for the damage done by the Eish. So says the Gemara, but Mayaskinan, what exactly is the case that this price is talking about? What kind of Shor, Bor, and Eish are we talking about that Shor and Bor given over to the Cherishot of a Katan you still bear responsibility for? But Eish, you apparently have no responsibility for. Ilema b'shor kasher u'bor mechusa. If you're going to tell me that we're talking about items that are secure, that you took the ox, you tied it up well, you have the bar and you covered it, so you really should have nothing to worry about because it's totally secure, to kavasaga be'esh kachelis, and therefore the parallel case to that within Eish would be if you give a coal that's dying out, meaning you don't give a live fire to a chereshot of a katan, you give a coal, you give a gachelas. So maishnahacha. But if that's the case, why by shor and bar should you be responsible and by Eish you not be responsible? Meaning the real kasha should be why by shor and bar should you be responsible? But once we have by Eish that you're not responsible, we're able to strengthen it by saying why the stira? Right? Why by the Eish do we say you're not responsible, and by Shor and Bar we say you are responsible? Ella, so what's the other option? Bishor Mutar Ubar Megula. We're dealing with a Shor that's untied and a Bar that's exposed, that's not covered. So the Kavasaga be'esh shall have us. What would be the parallel of a shor that's untied and a bar that's exposed? The parallel by fire would be a live fire, a live flame. So you give that to a Cherishot of a Katan. That's the case that we're saying that a shor and bar you're going to be chayavan for giving it to a Cherishot of a Katan, but an esh you're going to be pater. Mashen came be'esh to pater. Really? I give a live fire to a Cherishot of a Katan and surprise, he does damage with it. I'm going to be pater. Vamrei Shlakish Mishrei Dechizkia Lo. That when do we say you're pater? Only when you give him a coal and he manages to stoke the coal and turn it into a fire to fan the flame. Aval shall have his chayiv. But if I give him a live fire, of course I'm going to be chayiv. My time of the bari azeka. Why am I going to be chayiv? Because when you give a live fire to a chereshot of a katan, it's pretty clear that it's going to do damage. So that can't be the case that we're talking about, where you give something that's totally unprotected, where you give him a shor that's untied, a bar that's uncovered, and you just let him go wild. And it can't be that that's the case where the shor and the bar you're chayiv, but the eish where it's a live fire you're going to be putter, because it doesn't make any sense to be putter for giving him a live fire. So what's the case? Li'olam b'shor kashur bar mechus. Let's go back to our original case. We're talking about the shor is tied up, the bar is covered up, it's secure. Udekavasaga be'esh, and the parallel by esh is gachelas, that you don't give him a live fire, you give him a coal that's dying. Udeka amrit maishnacha maishnacha. Aye, but we were bothered. Why then, by the case of the fire, should you be bothered, but by the case of the shor and bar, you should be chayiv? Meaning, what did you really do? You secured the shor and the bar before you gave it to the chereshot of a katan. So why in the world would you be chayiv in that case? So this is Gemara, shor darki lenatuke, bar darki lenature. Gachelas, kamad shavakla ma'am ya'am ya'va azla. If you just leave it alone, this is the way Rashi understands it. Let's translate the words first. The shor, it's the derech of the shor. It's normal for a shor to come free from being tied up. It's normal for the bar to become uncovered, even when it is covered. However, a gachelas normally just dies out if you leave it alone. It does not turn into a fire unless someone manipulates it and turns it into a fire. Rashi understands, what does it mean that the shor, the derech of the shor, is to become untied? Says Rashi, v'havle lasuk matiro. What does it mean? It's the derech of the shor to become untied, that when you tie up the shor and you just leave it alone, eventually the ropes will come loose, eventually it will become untied. And therefore, hilkach shmiru ru'uahi v'afilu itiru cheresh chayiv bal ashar. Therefore, it's a bad shmira, and even if the way it actually became untied was by the cheresh untying it, or the katan untying it, nevertheless, the bal ashar is going to be chayiv, because even in its tied up state, had the cheresh not intervened, it's likely that it would have become untied anyway. So we're basically saying that you didn't tie it with chains. We're talking about a shor that's kosher, but the equivalent to gachelas, the equivalent to giving a kol, is not giving an animal that's tied up in chains that can never come loose. That would be the equivalent of a fire that's already been put out. Right, the equivalent to giving a kol would be giving an animal that's tied up, but eventually could come loose on its own. But when it comes to the gachelas, if nothing's going to happen on its own, you need the intervention of somebody else in order to turn it into a fire, and that's why you're going to be potter when you give it to Cher Shot V'Katan. You don't have to assume they're going to do anything. You assume they just won't do anything. They won't do anything productive or destructive. They'll just sit there. So since you don't have to assume they'll do anything, by the shor and the bar, you're going to be chayiv. By the gachelas, you're going to be potter. Says Tosos, shor avid l'natuke, Pirush Rashi, afilu belo cheresh darka l'natuke me'elav, v'chein bar darka l'naturi me'elav. The Rashi says it's all going to happen on its own without the cheresh doing anything. V'kasha, says those I don't understand, da'al karkach b'kasha b'kiso karo mayri. Well, why would we talk about a case where you cover it and you tie the shor down and we explain that it's talking about where you didn't do it properly? What value is a cover if it's not covered properly, if the cover could just blow right off? Of what value is tying up an animal if the animal could let itself loose? Right, that it's dafka when you cover a karoi that we say you're going to be pater. It's dafka when you tie a karoi. According to Rashi, if it could let itself loose, it's obviously not taken care of. It's obviously not done karoi. It's not done properly. So it says Tosos when you're lefarish to darkel in a tuke al yedei cheresh ka'amar. Degara mishum demasa lecheresh. No, when we say darkel in a tuke, it doesn't mean that had you left it alone, it would have come loose. No way it would have come loose had you left it alone. But it's the derech for it to come loose when you leave it with a cheresh. The cheresh sees the animal, sees the ropes, and starts playing around. Not necessarily that the cheresh is trying to let it free, but the cheresh is going to play with the ropes a little bit. It's likely that it comes free through the cheresh. Aval gachelas lo gara kol kach, dein darko lilbos gachelas, kamo shedarko l'natuke shor l'natore bar. Tekam deshav l'cheresh ma'ami ami va'azel. What's the chilek then between gachelas and on the one hand and shor and bar on the other hand? Chilek is simple, that when it comes to the gachelas, it's not normal for a cheresh to play with it. When it comes to the shor and bar, it is normal for him to play with it, and because he'll play with it, he'll likely let it loose. But we must be talking about where it was tied up properly. If it wasn't tied up properly, then there's no point in making an ukimta that it was tied up at all. So it has to be that it was tied up properly, but giving it to a cheresh made matters worse. This Machlokas actually plays a role in the halacha, and of all places in Hilchas Sukkah, in Siman Tafresh Lamed, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, the Mechaber writes, "Ein nachon la'asos kol ha'mechitzos mi'yiriyos shel pishton belokanim, afal pi shekasher betov." This is one of the major marmakomas for canvas sukkahs, that a person should not make his sukkah, his walls of his sukkah, out of cloths of pishtan without any reeds, even though you tie it down really well. Zimdin de mintiki valava daite, because sometimes it will become unfastened and you won't realize it. And it becomes a mechitza that can easily blow off, that can't stand in front of a ruach shena metzuya. The next halach in Shulchan Aruch writes in Sefer Aleph, Also mechitza mi bali chayim shikshusham behem l'dofen. You can use an animal as your mechitza. If you want to put a large animal, a cow, an elephant, a giraffe, you want to put it as a mechitza. Giraffe is going to be tough because it's high legs, so it's mostly parts, right? Unless it's higher up. But anyway, but if you want to put an animal as the mechitza, so that's fine to tie an animal down. That's totally mutter. So frekta taz, isn't that a stira min eubay? Meaning, on the one hand, we say if you put cloth, well, even if you tie it down, cloth can become untied. But an animal, if you tie it down, it's okay. It can serve as a sukkah. He says it's a beferish gemara in perakama de babakami. He's quoting our gemara that shar darkil in a tuke vafilu afi kasher besukkah. So if a shark can let itself loose, according to our Gemara, shark, according to our Gemara, right, it does let itself loose, and nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch is willing to paskin that it's kosher for a wall of a sukkah, so kal v'chomer, the urios, the curtains that are tied really well, should be kosher. So says the Taz, you have to make a chilek that when did we say the curtains were kosher? The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch was ein achal na'asos kol ha-mechitzos mi-urios. Don't make all of the walls out of the curtains, but some of them can. The implication is one or two of them can be made as long as all of them are not made out of curtains. Whereas behema, we're only machshir if one of the walls is made out of behema. But any more than one wall would not be good. I'm not sure if I understand that chiluk. I don't know why one wall is less likely to become detached than all walls. Meaning, obviously, if you have three walls made out of a questionable material, the chances that one of them becoming detached is greater than if you have only one, because you just have higher numbers. But still, it's the same risk. It's the same idea of a wall becoming detached or becoming too loose. So the some of the Elia Rabbah points out that the Taz's kasha is only a kasha if you assume that when the Gemara says that it's normal for an animal to become loose, it means on its own, like Rashi assumes that the animal could become loose on its own. But if you assume, like Tosfos, that no, an animal doesn't become loose on its own, the animal's tied up really well. It's only through a cherish that the animal is going to become loose, so then the kasha doesn't get off the ground. There is no such idea that an animal becomes loose. There's an idea that your reels, the curtains become loose, but not that an animal becomes loose. It's only through a cherish, through the intervention of someone else, that an animal would become loose. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yochanan, Damar, Afilu Masalo, Shalheves, Nami Pater. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even if you give a live fire to a cheresh of a katan, you're still pater. Then what would be the parallel case of a shor and a bar where it's totally unprotected? So why is it by the shor and the bar where it's totally unprotected and you give it to a cheresh of a katan, you're going to be chayev? Whereas by, well, that part makes sense. But whereas by eish, when you give a live fire to a cheresh of a katan and it's totally unprotected, you're going to be pater. So says Gemara Hasam Safsa de Cherish Kagarm Hachalot Safsa de Cherish Kagarm. You still need the intervention of the Cherish in order to cause a fire. He has to go and bring that fire somewhere and light something on fire. Whereas the Shor and the Bar, you just leave it there, the Cherish doesn't have to do anything, and it's going to cause damage, and that's why you're going to be Chayiv for the damages. So says Gemara Vayta, Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're going to list off the different chumras of one av nezikin over the other. So Tanu Rabbanan, chomer b'shar mi bar v'chomer bar mi b'shar. Shar has certain chumras over bar has certain chumras over shar. When we talk about shar over here, Tosfos points out, hai shar hainu keren. When we talk about shor, we don't mean shein v'regel, we mean dafka keren. So what are these chumras? Chum b'shor mibar, shor has certain chumras over bar, shor m'shalim es a kofer, v'chay v'sholosh m'shalevet, that a shor pays kofer, and he's chayv to pay the sholosh m'shalevet, meaning if the shor kills somebody, he has to pay kofer. If shor kills an eved, he has to pay the knas of shloshim kesef for the eved. Also, nigmar dino asabana, when the shor is a gemar din for killing someone, so at that point the shor is already usher in hana. So that's a chumrah that you find by shor that you don't find by anything else. V'darko leiluch lehazik, and also it's the derech of a shor to go out and actively do damage. Mashen kin b'bar, by bar we don't have any of these things. Chomer b'bar mi b'shar, bar has certain chumras over shar, shah bar t'chilas asiyasol nezek, bar is initially created as a mazik, umu'ad mit t'chilaso, to mu'ad from its very outset, from the first time it does damage, as opposed to a shar which starts off as a tam. Mashen kin b'shar, right, as opposed to a shar doesn't have these chumras. Chomer b'shar mi be'esh, chomer be'esh mi b'shar. And once we're on the topic of chomers of one thing to the other, so shar has certain chomers over esh, and esh has certain chomers over shar. What are they? Chomer b'shar mi be'esh, the chomers that a shar has over esh, shashar m'shalim kofar, a shar would have to pay kofar, as we said, v'chayv b'shalshim shalavet, and a shar kills an evet, you have to pay the knas of 30 kesef, nigmar dino asr ba'na, and once you have a gemar dino on the shar becomes asr ba'na, masr l'cher reshot v'katan chayiv, and if you give the shar over to a cher reshot v'katan, you're going to be chayiv, masha'in kein be'esh, right? That's what we pointed out before, that when you give an esh to a cher reshot v'katan, you're going to be pater. We had a machlok, we pointed out the machlokas, whether that's only by a gachelas, or Rabbi Yochanan says even a shalheves, but there's certainly a distinction between giving an esh to a cher reshot v'katan and giving a shar to a cher reshot v'katan. Chomer be'esh min b'shar, what are the chomers that an esh has over shar? She'esh mu'adas mitchilas, masha'in kein b'shar. Esh is a mu'ad at the outset as opposed to a shar. Now, so we've compared shar to bar, and we've compared shar to esh. What didn't we compare yet? Esh to bar. So chomer be'esh mi b'bar, v'chomer b'bar mi be'esh. There are certain chomers esh has over bar, and certain chomers bar has over esh. Chomer b'bar mi be'esh, shetchilas asiyas l'nezek. Bar is more chomer than esh because it's initially created to do damage. Masr l'cher shot v'katan chayiv. And if you give it in the watch of a cher shot v'katan, you're going to be chayiv. Mashayim kein be'esh as opposed to an esh, none of those things are true. Chomer be'esh mi b'bar, the chomer esh has over bar, she'esh darka leiluch l'hazik. Esh is normal for it to go and do damage. It travels and does damage. And it's a muad to eat, to consume, right? Esh doesn't eat, but to consume things that are ra'ila, things that are appropriate for it, and things that are not appropriate for it. Mashain kin babar, as opposed to a bar, is only muad to destroy things that are appropriate to get damaged. Or to in a bar, so as opposed to like kalim. So says the Gemara. Well, the Gemara will discuss as opposed to what we mean by ra'ila and ain ra'ila. So says the Gemara. So that's all the chumras. We compared shar, bar, and esh, and we said each one has chumras that the other doesn't. So v'lisni chomer b'shar mi b'bar. If we're going to list the chumras that shar has over bar, why don't we list the following? Shashar chayv b'osa kalim hashem kin b'bar. That if a shar damages kalim, the owner of the shar is obligated to pay for those kalim. As opposed to if a bar damages kalim, if kalim fall into a bar and get damaged, there is no chiv to pay for it. So answers Gemara, no, hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi, to mechayiv al niske kalim b'bar. We're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda who says that when kalim get damaged in a bar, yitaka ar chayiv. That's why we don't list it as one of the chumras, because it's not something that we're going to be makel with by a bar. Even kalim in a bar, we're going to be mechayiv. Frek the Gemara. If this whole, the author of all these comparisons of bar and shor and esh, of this brisa with all these chumras, is Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to run into trouble later on in the brisa where we compared esh to bar. Why? E Rabbi Yehuda, if the author is Rabbi Yehuda, who says that kalim in a bar you're going to be chayav for, important to remember, it says kalim in a bar you're going to be chayav for, ema seifa chomer be'esh mi b'bar. When we go on and we compare esh to bar, we say, what's the chumra that esh has over bar? She'esh darka leiluch lahazik umuad lechol bein davar roila bein davar she'en roila. That an esh is darka leiluch lahazik, and an esh is a muad to destroy both things that are roi to it and things that are not roi to it. Mashem kin b'bar, as opposed to by a bar, that is only more to destroy what is ra'ui to it. So what does that mean? Davar ra'ila ma'ininhu. What is a davar ra'ila? So eitzim, that's eitzim. It's a normal for fire to consume wood. Davar she'en ra'ila ma'ininhu. What is something that's not ra'ila? Kalim. So kalim is apparently something that's not ra'ila, because it's not normal to burn kalim. It's not the derech to burn kalim. It's the derech to burn firewood. You want to keep a fire going, you put wood in the fire. To burn kalim, you don't do that. That's it's nisr of baltashkus to burn kalim. That's why it's not the derech to burn kalim. Masha'in kin b'bar, as opposed to by a bar, where even things that are not ra'ila, you're going to be chayef for. Where things that are not ra'ila, you're going to be pater for. It's only by eish where you're going to be chayef both for things that are ra'ila for it and things that are not ra'i for it. What is not ra'i for it? Kalim. As opposed to by a bar, where you can be putter for kalim. But he Rabbi Yehuda, Hamrit Mechayev Hay Rabbi Yehuda Miske Kelim Bebar. But if the author of this price is supposed to be Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev for Kelim in a bar. That was the whole point. That's why we said we don't mention that as one of the Chumras that Shar has over bar. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds you're Chayev for Kelim in a bar. So how could it be Rabbi Yehuda? It doesn't work out with the comparison between Eish and bar. So Elul Yolim Rabbanan, so you have to say that it's the Rabbanan. If it's the Rabbanan, we're back to our original question. Why don't we list as one of the Chumras Shar has over bar that you're Chayev for Kalim? The ton of a shear. Okay, we didn't list everything. It's not an exhaustive list. We left some things off the list. So my shire, the high shire. What else did we leave off that you can say that we left off the idea of kelim in a bar? So shire tamun. We also left off the idea of tamun. What's the idea of tamun? That when a fire burns something that is hidden, that's covered up, so you're not going to be chayiv in that which is hidden. You're going to be chayiv in that which is revealed. So since that's a kula that Eish has that the others don't have, so that's a chomer b'shar mi be'eish, and it's a chomer b'bar mi be'eish. They're both chayiv and tamun as opposed to Eish, and yet we don't list it. So you see that it's not an exhaustive list. We don't list everything. And that's why we don't mention the idea of kalim either, that a bar is potter with kalim. Ibai Seima, another possible approach though is Liolim Rabbi Yehuda. Really, we are assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. And Kalim are in fact Chayiv in a bar. Aye, what's our problem then? How could we say that one of the Chumras Eish has over bar is that Eish is Chayiv for Davar She'ena Ro'ila, which we thought automatically means what? Kalim. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that the bar is also Chayiv in Kalim. How do we deal with that? V'davar she'en ro'ila lav lasui kelim. Nah, it's not about kelim. That's not what davar she'en ro'ila means. El lasui l'chanira v'sich chavanav. It means it burns things that it's not normal for a fire to burn. It chars rocks and consumes a plowed field or something like that. That's what we're saying, that such items you don't have by a bar. That by a bar there's no chia for such items. Because rocks don't get destroyed in a bar, etc. Right? But a fire that burns these things, if the rocks are valuable, sometimes rocks can be extremely valuable. Right? If you have you buy a rocky mountain, and it turns out that the mountain is has a marble that could be used for countertops, so you could become, there's a story of a minor league pitcher or something, but used a signing bonus, bought some mountain, became a billionaire overnight. They discovered they could use it for countertops. So anyway, so rocks can have value. If the rocks get singed, so it could be major damage that's done. But rocks falling into a bar generally doesn't cause any damage. There's not going to be any chiyuv of rocks in a bar. Okay, so anyway, so that's really the chiluk. It's not about the kelim. Frankly, more mask of Ravashi, but still there are more things that we could have listed. I mean, where the Gemara stands right now is, if the author of this brisa is the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan say, okay, Tanav Shire, we leave some things are left out of this brisa. Kalim is left out of the brisa. Tamun is left out of the brisa. If the author is Rabbi Yehuda, we're assuming nothing is left out of the brisa. We're assuming it is an exhaustive list. Because Rabbi Yehuda does not think Kalim are left out of the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kalim are chayiv in a bar, and that's why it didn't list Kalim in the brisa. What about Tamun? Rabbi Yehuda also holds that Tamun is chayiv be'esh. Right, he holds that be'esh tamun is chayiv, so also wouldn't be left out of the brisa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, nothing is left out of this brisa. So maskar Ravashi, we have something else that was left out. Listen, chomer b'shar mi b'bar shashar chayiv sharp psulei mukdashin rashein kin b'bar. If a sharp psulei mukdashin falls into a bar, you're going to be pater. If a sharp psulei mukdashin gets damaged by your shar, you're going to be chayiv. So you see, that's the difference between shar and bar. Now, why is it that shar psulei mukdashin is going to be putter in a bar? So the explanation is that the drasha of vahamesia lo tells me that only misha mes shalo, only when one would be able to get to keep the dead body, which we're going to discuss in tomorrow's daf, only when one would get to keep the dead animal, can you say that there's a chiv in the bar? But when one would not get to keep the dead animal anyway, so there's no chiv in the bar. That's why psulei mukdashin is putter in a bar. But your ox goes and gores psulei mukdashin, you're going to be chayiv. So iam b'shlam rabbanan he. So if you say like that, we're going that the brisa is authored by the rabbanan. I did the shir hach shir namihach. Well, the rabbanan say that we leave some things out. So we left out tamun, we left out kelim. So good. So we leave out psulei mukdashin as well. Eliam Rabbi Yehuda my shayir da hay shayir. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what else was left out that you're going to say that we left that psulei mukdashin was left out? So shayir dash benira. So you can say that what was left out was if the ox tramples on a plowed field and it has kavana to do damage. So that's the told of Karen, where it's kavana lahazik and has to pay for the damage done. As opposed to a bor, it's not shaykh for a bor to damage karka. So that's what's left out. Says Marno, Imishim Dash Beniro, Lav Shiruhu, the Rashi's gear says da katani, shekin darko leluch lahazik. That's already covered in darko leluch lahazik. So it can't be that it leaves that, meaning that the bor is not darko leluch lahazik, and that's why a bor doesn't damage property. So it's already covered within that chilek. So that's why it doesn't mention it. So you can't say that we left out Dash Beniro. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't make any sense why Psulei HaMikdashin would be the only thing that's left out. So therefore, it seems the Gemara's conclusion is this brisa must be authored by the Rabbanan. So now, just back up a second. Psulei HaMikdashin, why is it that you're patur on Psulei HaMikdashin in a bar? Because we can't say about it Vamesi Elo, because it's Asr Ba'ana. You can't get Anah from it, so there's no value to the dead carcass of the animal. You can't make shoes out of it, you can't whatever. There's no value, you can't feed it to your dog. There's no value to the dead carcass. Frekt Tosfos, Vim Tomer, Lamali Shar V'lo Adam, V'lo Adam. Why do I need a drasha of Shar V'lo Adam in a bar? Typically, mi v'amesi elo, mi shames shalo. Why do I have a drasha that you're only chayev for the death of a shar in a bar, but not for the death of a man in a bar? Why do I need a separate drasha? If the halacha is that I'm only going to be chayiv in a bar for something that you get to keep the dead body, so Adam, you don't get to keep the dead body. An Adam, a dead human, is asr ba'ana, right? Because he says, the mace asr ba'ana, a dead body is asr ba'ana. Darshin gzer shava, sham sham, egel aruf, perakim ramidin. It's not from the Gemara, not from the Zara. Darshin gzer shava, that a dead human is asr ba'ana. Aye, maybe the hair of a dead human is mutter ba'ana. Vimishum shaseir mutter, examin perakam de erichin. Hair is an interesting sugi in halacha, what status it has, whether it's part of the body, not part of the body, say Romei Ligzos, etc. But anyway, if you're going to say the hair is mutter bana, you can make a shetel out of it or something, and therefore maybe it's not. That's that part you do get to keep, so it doesn't fit in the drash of a mesi alo. He says no. Hachanami seir shops the mekdashin mutter kedamin bebuchoros perakimel vafilu achi kivin sheikaru asur chashavena meshalo. No, you get to keep the hair of psulei mekdashin also, and nevertheless we say that since you don't get to keep the body, it's not considered yours. You don't get to. It's considered asur bana. The goof is asur bana, and that's what we look at. So you can't say about it vamesi alo. So again, Tosas kasha is. Why by Psulei HaMikdashin do we say your putter when the bar damages Psulei HaMikdashin? Because you don't get to keep the dead body. So we say the same thing about the bar damaging a person. Why do I need a separate drasha for a bar killing a person that I'm putter? I could just use the drasha of Amesi Elo. So Seth tells us two answers. First answer, V'yeshlom de V'amesi Elo Mishtai B'shar V'lom Mati Minei Adam. V'amesi Elo is dafka talking about a shar. So you can't, meaning this exclusion that only something when you get to keep the dead body are you going to be chayiv is dafka talking about the body of a shar. It's not talking, the pasuk is talking about a shar. So you can't be mimayit adam from a pasuk that's talking about shar. So there's nothing to do with what happens to an adam in a bar. Second answer is that's the more pashut answer. Second answer is the more interesting one though. It also says in the last four lines, ubalav hachi lo kasha midi. Anyway, it's not a kasha. L'may de preaches l'el, de shar v'lo adam isrich la'eved, what if a non-Jew falls in the bar? You're going to be chayiv for that. I would have thought you're chayiv for that. I need the pasuk to tell me I'm not chayiv for that, because that would not be covered by Vamesi Elo, because the dead non-Jewish body or the dead body of the Eved is mutter bahana'a. So that's already a major machlokas rishonim. Tosfos is taking a stance that the non-Jewish dead body is mutter bahana'a. Now we know that there's no mitzvah kvura. Right, there's a mitzvah kvura on a Jewish mace. There's no mitzvah kvura on a non-Jewish mace. Rav Shachter has a very beautiful shtickel Torah on why that's so. In Eretz HaTzvi, he explains that there's a difference between tashmishe kedusha and tashmishe mitzvah. That tashmishe kedusha, by definition, are like the cover of a sefer Torah or the bottom of the tefillin. Definition of tashmishe kedusha is something that actually is associated with ksav shel Torah, with actual writing of Torah. Tashmishe kedusha, you need to bury nignazin. You put in shemus. Tashmishe mitzvah old tzitzis, an old lulav, an esrog, things like that, tashmishei mitzvah, there's no din that it needs to be buried. The din is you get to throw it away. What's tashmishei mitzvah? Anything that was used for a mitzvah but is not directly linked with ksav shel Torah. So Rav Shechter thought to explain that that's the chiluk between a meis Yisrael and a meis Akum. Why is it that there's a mitzvah of kvura and a meis Yisrael? Because while a meis Akum, the body of the Akum also did mitzvahs, he had seven mitzvahs, and it's not just a numbers game that he did less mitzvahs. No, he also did mitzvahs. He's tashmishei mitzvah. The meis Yisrael is tashmishei kedusha because it's associated with ksav shel Torah, because the Torah is chakuk aluach libecha. It's engraved on our hearts, and that's one of the fundamental differences between a Jew and a non-Jew. Is the relationship to Torah. It's not so much the relationship to mitzvahs. Non-Jew also has mitzvahs. And that's why nignazim, when it comes to the Jewish dead body, would be nignaz, it would be put in Shemus, so to speak. It has to be buried after it no longer is alive, whereas the non-Jewish body, but Tosfos goes a step further, not just that the non-Jewish dead body doesn't have to be buried, but that it's mutar ba'anah. So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. One of the rayas that they bring is the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yotes, where David HaMelech brings the Meir Arlos Plishtim. What's he doing bringing Meir Arlos Plishtim? It's really a Pasuk in Navi. What's he doing bringing the Meir Arlos Plishtim? So he's obviously using it for, he used it for something. Gemara Sanhedrin Yotes discusses what he did with it. But apparently he was allowed to get Hana from those Meir Arlos Plishtim. Apparently he took it off of dead Plishtim. He was only able to get their Arlos because he had killed them. Okay. Anyway, so says the Gemara Vayitzer, two dots. Chsharti b'miktsas nizkon. The Mishnah said that if I prepare miktsas of the nezek, so I could be chayiv in the entire nezek. Tanu rabbanan. Chsharti b'miktsas nizkon. Chafti b'tashlumi nizkon kehechshar kol nizkon keitzad. What exactly is the case so that I was partially responsible for the damage, and I ended up having to pay for the whole thing. So we're going to have a number of possibilities. Possibility number one: Hachofer bar tisho bar achav ashlim alasara. Someone digs a 9 tefach deep bar. Someone else comes along and adds another tefach to it. Digs another tefach. Now it's now 10 tefachim. Ha'achron chayiv. Even though the last guy only dug 1 tefach, he's going to be chayiv for all of the nezek that it causes. Udolok Rebbe, and this is against Rebbe. Detanya, we have a brisa. Hachofer bar tisho bar achav ashlim alasara. Achron chayiv. Rebbe. Rabbi says, no, only if an animal gets killed in the bar, the last guy is going to be chayiv, because a bar of 9 tefachim can't kill, a bar of 10 tefachim can kill. But if something gets damaged in the bar, the last one is not going to be chayiv, because he didn't do anything that the bar couldn't have done beforehand. So we're assuming not like Rabbi, because we're saying that the last guy is going to be chayiv, because he made it deeper. Is Machlokes Rishonim, is it dafka the numbers 9 and 10? What if it was 4 tefachim deep, and you made it 5 tefachim deep, and then it damaged? Is it dafka because you changed the status of the bar, you turned it from a damaging bar to a killing bar, that we're going to say you're even going to be chayiv for all of the nezek? But if you turned it from a damaging bar to a more damaging bar, but you didn't really change the status of the bar, maybe you're not going to be chayiv. So that's the discussion in Rishonim. Anyway, Rav Papa Amar the Misa V'Divrei Rav Kal. Rav Papa says no. When we say you're chayiv for everything, even though you only did partial, you only caused the problem partially, we're talking about that you're going to be chayiv if an animal dies in that bar. So even though you only dug one tefach, but since it was the last tefach, you're going to be chayiv for the death of the animal, and that goes according to Rebbe and everybody else also. Igada Amri, others have the discussion, a slightly different version of the discussion, of Lema Dolo Karebi, shall we say that we're assuming not like Rebbe? I'm Rav Papa Lemisa V'Divrei Kol. No, Rav Papa says we're talking about that you're, when the Mishnah says you're chayiv for all of the damage, it means for the damage of an animal dying in the bar, and we're assuming even like Rebbe. Mask Rabbi Zera, so ask Rabbi Zera, really, that's the only example we could think of someone who prepares part of the damage and is going to be chayiv for the whole thing. Vesu leka, is there no other example? Vayika, we have a second example. Masar shor lechamisha bnei adam upasha bo echad mehan vihizik chayiv. Let's say you give a shor over to 5 people to watch. One of them is poshea and it does damage, so the one who's poshea is going to be chayiv. He didn't really do the whole damage because there were other guys that were supposed to watch it, and yet he's going to be chayiv for the whole thing. So frektik mar hechidami, what exactly is the case? Is that really a case where you only are partially responsible and you're chayiv for the whole thing? If you need 5 people to watch this animal, it's that strong, you need 5 people to hold it down, so obviously he's the only one that did anything wrong. So of course, how could you call that a chsharti b'miktsas nisko? You did the whole thing, you did everything, of course you're going to be chayiv. Ella de Belaviu Nami Minter. So what do you want to say? That it could have been watched by the other four guys? Then my covet. Then he didn't do anything wrong. If there are five guys that are in charge of watching it, it's normal that they should take shifts and that one guy could be, when the other four guys have a covet, this guy could take a lunch break. So what did he do? What did he do wrong at all? He wasn't even a chsharti b'miktsas nisko. He wasn't makshir anything. So that's not a valid case of a chsharti b'miktsas nisko, that you're chayiv b'kol nisko. Now, how do we know that you taka are chayiv b'kol nisko in that case? So we don't. Meaning we just made up. We just assumed that that would be a case. So the Gemara is rejecting him and saying, no, you're not chayiv b'kol nisko in that case. Maskevah Rav Sheish says, what about I could come up with another possibility? Possibility number three. Va'ika marbe b'chavila. What if there's a fire that's raging and you're marbe b'chavila? Meaning you throw in chavila's muros to keep the fire going. Right? Shariba chavila's muros, Rashi says, namen beiz ba'adaka shal chaveru. Someone else lit the fire. V'kirva yedea chavila's l'gadish. And by adding those chavila's, you bring it closer to someone else's stuff, so you should be chayiv, even though not the first guy who lit the fire, because you're the one that caused the fire to spread to somebody else's stuff and damage it. So frankly, again, what's the case? If the fire never would have gone anywhere without his intervention, so pshita, then of course he's going to be the one that's going to be chayiv, right? He's the one that caused all the damage. That's not machshir b'miktsas nisko. That's preparing the entire nezek. El de blavi yuazla. No, the case must be that it would have gone even without him. The fire would have made it there even without him. Well, my kavod. Then again, what did he do? He didn't do anything wrong because the fire was going to get there anyway. Now, what does that mean, he didn't do anything wrong? He also participated in helping the fire get there. It was going to get there anyway, but he certainly didn't shy away from it. So Tosfos points out, my kavod b'kulish ma'itin sarachlam, my kavod tfei me'achrini. Whenever we say my kavod in this sugya, we mean, what did he do any more than the other guys did? I mean, even in the case of the Shmiru, say the guy left it alone and the other four guys were still protecting it, so Mike, or should have still been able to protect it, my kavod doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong, because he was still asked to watch it. It means my kavod, what did he do worse than the other guys? The other guys also were supposed to watch it. Obviously, none of them watched it. And therefore, you can't say that he's going to bear the brunt and he's going to be chayiv for all of the nezek. No, say that he should split the nezek with everybody else. That's why we're rejecting these as possibilities of hichsharti b'mitzas nisko chayiv b'kol nisko. Granted, you were machshir b'mitzas nisko, but you should be chayiv in only your share, not in the entire nezek. So Ella, the Blavi, so Maskevla, Rav Papa asks, okay, I have another case though. Vayika Hadatanya, we have the following brisa. Hey Sheyashval Safsalechad, five guys sitting on a bench. Veloshav Ruhu, and the bench was not breaking. The five guys were apparently light enough that they weren't destroying the bench. Uba Echad Vyashav Alav Vishivro, and then the sixth guy comes along, he sits on it, and the bench breaks. So obviously it's not only his weight that's breaking the bench. The it seems, at least we'll see in the Gemara, right, that the weight of all of them is breaking the bench. So he was only machshir b'mitzas nisko. But ha'achron chayev, the Mishnah says he's going to be chayev to pay for the entire cost of the bench. From Rav Papa, come Papa Baraba. Rav Papa says this is Dafka talking about someone like Papa Baraba. Papa Baraba, as you might have guessed, was a very fat guy. So it's Dafka when you have someone fat like Papa Baraba that it's going to be chayev. Say echidami, what exactly is the case? If had he not come along, the bench never would have broken. The five guys sitting on it could have sat there forever and never would have broken. So of course he's the one that's going to be chayiv. He did everything. No, the case is that it would have broken even had he not come along. Well then, my kavod, again, what did he do? If it was going to break anyway, what did he do? And let's say, like Tosfos, what did he do more than anybody else? He was more weight on it, just like everyone provided some weight for the bench. Says Gemara, sof. So bottom line is, we don't understand why he should be chayiv. Now in the previous cases, when we didn't understand why he should be chayiv, we could easily say, okay, so he's not chayiv for the whole thing. He's only chayiv for his share. But in this case, it's a Mishnah. Right, in the previous cases, we just came up, the Gemara just made up the cases. So we could say, fine, so he's not chayiv. But over here, it's a Mishnah. Right, over here we have a brisa, rather. It's a brisa that says, beferish, that he is chayiv for the whole thing. So how are we going to account for that brisa? Sof, masnisa echa mitritza. How are we going to be matari to that brisa? Since we asked such a stark akasha on it, what is it? Would the bench have broken without him or not? Either way, it doesn't make any sense why he should be chayiv for the whole thing. It says, mor lo tzricha de belav iyu avi mitvar betray. Without him, it would have taken 2 hours till the bench would have cracked, and now that he came along, he sped up the process. It broke in only 1 hour. The army lay that they can say to him, "Ilavat haviyasvim tfei port of a kayamin. Had you not come along, we would have gotten up after another 2 minutes, and nothing would have happened." So v'leimelahu ilavatun b'didi lo avamitvar. But why can't he say to them, "Look, if it wasn't for you, it wouldn't have broken on my account"? So says Gemara, "Lotzricha d'bahadi d'samach b'hutavar." Now the case is he was leaning on them; he wasn't letting them get up, and that's why it broke. Meaning he can't tainer them. You should have gotten up. You saw me sit down. You knew that my extra weight was going to cause a problem. You could have gotten up, and the bench would have. So you're just as responsible as for it as I am. So the answer is no. You can't say that because he was samach blue. He came in such a way. Rashi says nismach aleim v'lo yachlu lamod. He put all his weight on them where they couldn't get up. They were unable to move. So therefore, he's going to bear the responsibility. So frankly, our pshita, then of course he's going to bear the responsibility. No, ma'al detem kocholav kigufa dami. I might think that it's kocholav kigufa, since it's not him physically sitting on the bench, it's him leaning his weight on them and they're on the bench, that doesn't count as his responsibility. Whatever his guf will break it, the kocha will also break it. He has a fascinating case in these Moros Adaf Yomi of a case where an employer had hired a bus to take his workers back and forth from work, and the bus that came, they delivered a van instead of a bus. So everyone piled on, and the driver said, "I don't want to take you." And they said, no, don't worry, we'll pay for the ticket if you get a ticket." And they all piled in, and they Taka got a ticket. So the guys who had seats who were on the bus first said, "Well, it's not our fault. We had a seat we were on when it was legal. You should pay for the ticket." The guys who stuffed on afterwards. The other guy said, "What are you talking about? You could have gotten off when we came on. If you were so worried about the legal problem, you should have gotten off." So the he quotes that that's exactly this Gemara, that if they could have gotten off, then they're all equally responsible. Now, if the new guys came on and shoved their way in such a way where they made it impossible for anybody to get off, so maybe a nichnami, only the last guy should have to pay. But if it was possible for others to get off, so they could have gotten off. So frankly, Marvait, Vesulaka, there are no further cases. Vayikah, there's the following case. Hadatanya, Yiku, Asar, Bnei Adam, Ba'asar, Makalos, Bein Basachas, Bein Bazar, Chazeh. 10 people hit a guy with 10 whippings, whether at the same time, whether one after the other. Umes, and the guy dies. Kulon Peturin. They're all Pater. Says, no, the last guy is chayiv because he was makariv misaso. So isn't that also a case of machshir b'miksas nisko? The last guy only did part of it. He only did that last whip, and nevertheless, he's chayiv for the whole thing. So says Gemara, yeah, that is a good example, but b'katala lo kamari. We're not talking about killing. We're talking about hurting. We're talking about damage. V'ibay seymor, another reason why we don't mention it is b'plukta lo kamari. We're trying not to get involved in machlokas. We're trying not to give an example of a case that's subject to machlokas. Velovo kimna de loka rabbi. What do you mean we're trying to give an example that's not subject to machlokas? The very example that we gave was de loka rabbi, was against rabbi, which was subject of machlokas. So de loka rabbi ukrabanan mukminan. Rabbi Yudhu Mesir, de loka rabbanan lo mukminan. Now, to say that we're not going like rabbi and we are going like the rabbanan, like the rabbim, and not like the yachid, that we're willing to do. But to say that we're not going like the rabbanan and we're going like a das yachid, Yudhu Mesir, that we're not willing to do, that we're not willing to make an ukimta, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Chavti b'tashlumi nisko. Chavti b'nisko lo katani el b'tashlumi nisko. It doesn't say you have to pay for the damage, it says you have to pay for the tashlumi nisko, which implies that part of it's already paid for, you just have to make up the rest of it when you do damage. So taninu lo hadetan rabban tashlumi nesek malami chabayla metaplum benevela. That means that if I somehow damage your shor, so your shor when it was alive was worth 100 zuz, now it's worth 10 zuz, you keep the shor, I pay you another 90. That's what it means, petashlume nisko. I have to make up the rest, I make up the difference. Not that I keep your shor and I pay you the full 100, no, you keep your shor and I pay the extra. Minani milu, how do I know this? So Rabbi Ami, Damar Kod, the Gemara is going to quote 3 separate psukim that teach us this did. Maka nefesh behema yishalmena. Al tikri yishalmena, ele yashlimena. Not that you pay it, but that you complete the payment. Rav Kana meyacha, the following pasukim. Tarof yitraf yuvieu, aid had trefa lo yishalim, and we dash not aid but ad trefa yishalim. Trefa atzma lo yishalim. You only pay up until the amount of the value of the trefa itself, but the trefa itself that you don't pay because that's already paid. The guy, the owner, gets to keep it. Chizki amar mehacha. Chizki says the following: Vameis yelo lenizik. The mace goes to him. Who's him? The nizik. V'chein tana debe chizki. Vameis yelo lenizik. Atom lenizik. Wait, no, the mazik. How do we know that lo means the nizik, not the mazik? Samar lo kachaya. Lo kachaya. kachaya. My lo kachaya, what does that mean, lo kachaya? Rabbi Isal kadayt nevelu de mazik havia, because if you're going to say the nevelu goes to the mazik, lichtov rachmana shor tachas ashor velishtok, then let the pasuk just say shor tachas ashor and not say anything else. Vamesi alo lamali, what does Vamesi alo add? Shmamino le nizik, so it must be coming to tell me about the nizik. So we have three psukim to teach me this din that the nizik keeps his dead animal. Utsricha, why do I need three psukim? Dikas rachmana makabeh mishalmeno mishimto lo shricha, because I would say that's a case where it's not shchiach that a human being damages a shor. I will trade for the shchicha imalow. But where my shor damages a shor, that's very shchiach, and therefore I would say that the mazik has to keep the shor and pay the full damage. Tzricha, therefore I need that case. V'yashmin trade for mishum demela. Avu makah behema de biyadayim imalow. And had I been told about the case of trefa, I would say that's because that happens automatically. The guy who was supposed to watch the shor. And that's the case. It's a shomer sacher. He's supposed to watch the shor. He didn't watch it properly. A wolf ripped it up. I didn't do anything. I just didn't watch it. But makah behema, where it's biadayim, I would say it's not so. V'yashmin hani tarti. And if I would have said both of these two cases, hamishum de lo shchicha, hamishum de mela, I would say each one has a reason why I would think the nizik gets to keep it. One because it's not common, and the other one because it happens on its own. Avol v'amesi alo de shchicha ubiadayim. But v'amesi alo, where it's shchiach, and it's talking about a shor, gores another shor, where it's shchiach and it's biyadayim, so I would say that the mazik has to keep the shor and pay the full value. V'yashmin v'amesi alo mishum de mono kamazik aval hacha de beguf v'mazik em alo. And the uniqueness of v'amesi alo is that it's your mammon that's doing damage, not you that's doing damage. So I would think that's why the nizik gets to keep it. Sricha, that's why I need all three psukim to teach me that when a shor gets killed, the owner of the shor keeps the carcass, and you only pay for the rest of the damages.